Housing for all of us as we age. The United States Census Bureau projects nearly one in four American adults will be 65 or older by 2050. Lifelong housing is a concept that's not exactly new, but as the boomers grow older in record numbers, it certainly is receiving more attention. Lifelong housing is the idea that places where we live can be modified to allow for easier living as we mature, modified to accommodate for different abilities and mobilities. The conversation in Fayetteville began in earnest earlier this year with a citywide panel discussion. Beth Marum, with the League of Women Voters of Washington County, helped put that conversation together. She reminds us that a speaker for a community that has led the way in lifelong housing, Rogue Valley, Oregon, was included in that discussion.
Where they had developed a certification program to certify homes for lifelong housing, meaning they had all the modifications a person might need to stay there throughout their entire lives.
Since that first event this past winter, Barham says momentum has continued. This summer, she helped sources earn a grant from AARP that will aid in further education about lifelong housing in Fayetteville. And next week, the next step in the public conversation will be an event with area builders, including Suzanne Lance, Vice President of Design and Customer Service for the Stitt Group in Rogers. She says her first experience with lifelong housing was in 1998 when a couple, ages 79 and 80, became interested.
They wanted to live in a home that they would never have to leave. They didn't want to have to go live with their kids or any of that. And so we did a lot of things in their home so that they could stay there. And they did.
Late last week, Suzanne Lance and Beth Barham came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about lifelong housing and next week's forum open to the public. Suzanne Lance with the Stitt Group says the best time to think about a house adaptable for us as we age is at the beginning.
You know, you can do a little wider hallways, a little wider doors. Doesn't cost anymore. It's just part of designing the home and thinking about the spaces. But yes, we did one just recently up on Mount Sequoia.
So you can build from scratch, but often I imagine you have clients that are looking for something that's a modification. They don't want to leave the house they're currently in.
That's
correct.
And
you can do that as well?
Yes.
And there's an example of one around around Wilson Park in Fayetteville you've done?
Yes, there is.
Tell me what was there when you started and what you added and changed.
There was a home that was your standard neighborhood home, had three bedrooms, relatively small, had two bathrooms, again, relatively small. And they wanted to, we had several objectives on that home. For the family that was living there then, that owned the home, they wanted to expand the master bedroom so that it was wheelchair accessible, and also the master bathroom so that it was wheelchair accessible and so that there was a roll-in shower. And in addition to that, her parents wanted to live near them or with them, and so we planned an addition for the parents. And so that was... The concept was that her parents would be there to help them and that they would be there to help their parents.
Suzanne actually will be on that panel. She will be showing a PowerPoint with photographs of this home that she just described and explaining how what she designed met the various needs of the family. One of the things that they did was for the parents build on what's known in Fayetteville code as an accessory dwelling unit. People can look on the website for the city and look up accessory dwelling unit and see the requirements. There's some specificities to that you have to follow. But that's a really nice option for people who want to build something on that's fully accessible if they own a home already, and so they're in sort of a mix, I would say, of remodeling by adding on, but building new, and they can build something completely accessible that way, which is what they did in the home that Suzanne will talk about.
If you're building a house from scratch, and let's say you're in your 30s and you and your spouse or you and your partner are going to build one, it makes sense maybe to build it as whatever term we want to use, lifelong housing or something like that anyway? I mean, is that any tougher to do, slightly wider halls and things like that? I mean, even if you don't plan to be there your entire life?
No, that is very, very logical. And a very good thing, and it doesn't cost any more money for a lot of the things that you can put in.
So you've been with the Stitt Group since 1980. Do you think differently about lifelong housing or this sort of thing than you did perhaps in 1980?
Yes.
And what I'm trying to get at is not just because you've done some of these, but, you know, since 1980, we've all gotten older.
Yeah. Life has a way of teaching you a lot of lessons and, you know, just being closer to that time in my own life and with my parents, you know, particularly, and seeing how that goes, you know, and just having an appreciation for life and being able to move around your home, to be able to stay in your home, to be able to not only the accessible things that you have from the standpoint of moving around your home, but also the enjoyment of life. You know, so we do a lot with accessibility to outdoor areas, lots of windows so that the outside is inside, even when people have to be inside, whether they're sick or whatever. And, you know, it's not only just aging, but, I mean, somebody breaks their leg, they're stuck in their house. So if they build these things in now, even if you're younger, you can still get around. So,
and I imagine those of us who are not in the business don't know what we don't know about this kind of housing. I mean, counter height, there are things like that, appliances.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that you can do to make bathrooms and kitchens accessible. Those are usually the two areas that people hit the most and hit first. Just because, you know, roll-in showers, and it's not always wheelchair. Sometimes it's, you know, it's walkers or it's crutches or whatever, but it's just having that maneuverability space. And one of the things we deal with people a lot of time is to say, well, how far do you want to go down that road? Do you want to go all the way to 5-foot turning radiuses for wheelchairs? Or do you want, you know, do you want grab bars built in now, or a lot of times we'll just do blocking in the wall so that they can install it later.
I want to open this up to both of you, because when you're talking to someone perhaps who is younger and you start thinking about grab bars and wheelchair radius, maybe you just don't want to think about that. And like many things we don't want to think about, we probably should anyway.
I guess I'll take that one. I like to say, well, nobody likes to think about aging, but the alternative is worse, so we better just get over it. One of the things I think people need to realize is the country's going through what is going to be a permanent demographic shift, and it's due to a good reason, and our way of thinking is that most people are living much older than people ever did before. So we're moving toward a society where we're going to have roughly 20% of our population is going to be seniors. And so that means changing a lot of things, our housing, our transportation system, mobility, accessibility in our towns, and so on. So people need to just get comfortable with that, I think, and just address it as anything else that they would plan for in their lives. One of the things that I've really learned getting into this topic, it's very fascinating, actually. Caregivers for seniors tend to be 7-to-1 women. And so you may be actually in modifying or building a new home that incorporates these features. You're protecting the caregivers, and they are an extremely scarce resource. Many of them may be still raising their own children and yet take on the care of senior parents. That's quite frequently seen. So you want to help prevent injuries for them. Also, keeping the seniors healthy and is able to do everything they can for themselves as possible alleviates that burden on the younger caregiver generation and allows them more time for their children and for other things in their lives. One of the big facets, too, in talking about how it affects multiple generations is just the cost factor, because the fact of the matter is the nursing home industry is not going to be able to provide the number of staffed beds in facilities to accommodate the numbers that we're talking about in America in this aging generation. And so it's going to be home health care one way or the other. It's going to be for the majority of people. If you did go to nursing care that's subsidized, state, federal, and so on, the cost of that is just enormous. And when people talk about the health care system breaking the back of the economy, a lot of it is due to those kinds of estimates, what it's going to cost to care for all of these people. So we have to take a different approach. So, no, it is not at all strictly about seniors themselves or people approaching a certain age, because the cost impacts of trying to deal with falls, dealing with institutional nursing home settings, just the enormous cost of all of that can bankrupt a family very quickly.
Beth Barham is with the League of Women Voters of Washington County, and Suzanne Lance is the Vice President of Design and Customer Service with the STIT Group in Rogers. They discuss the upcoming public forum about lifelong housing. That forum, open to the public, will be Wednesday, October 25th at the Washington Regional Pat Walker Senior Center Auditorium at 12 East Appleby in Fayetteville. Eight, about the house near Wilson Park we discussed in that conversation that's being made with funds from the AARP grant awarded this summer, and that film will be available soon.